And I love little babies. I do. Got that baby breath going on. It just like I said, I just love them right out of the chute. I just love them. It's when they learn to talk that I have a problem with them. But hey, guys, if you will, get your outlines out. We're gonna fill in some blanks today. We're continuing in this series of Crazy Makers. You make me crazy. We've been in it all summer. And I know some of you guys are probably ready to get out of it. But today we're going to be talking about a little something different. But it is about healthy and unhealthy relationships. And we're going to be talking today about Christians who are crazy makers in the area of religion. I'm talking about religious crazy makers. C.S. Lewis said this, basically, the problem with Christians is Christians. I have found that to be true. You know, and the way I figure it out now is I figure if you were a weirdo before you became a Christian, you probably still are. And you're probably still a little messed up because we're all human beings, aren't we? We're all a little messed up. And sometimes we just get our faith messed up a little bit, and we start to focus on what God does, and maybe even focus on what goods that we can get. And so we want to see how that happens, and then I want to talk about and our faith and the relationships that we have, and then at the end, I hope that we can answer this question: are you making somebody crazy, you know, with your religious beliefs, or are you building them up? Like I said, we got lots of lists we're going to talk about today, and I can't wait to get to baptize. And so I don't want y'all to leave. I want y'all to witness. We're going to witness three baptisms today, and so I know you'll be in a hurry to get out of here, and everybody be hurry to rush over those bumps. By the way, please, as me a favor, don't ride around the bumps. Amen. Somebody's been riding around the bumps, had to put up lights. All right, number one, we're going to be talking about forms and variations of toxic faith. The very first thing is compulsive religious activity. This is a form of toxic faith, compulsive religious activity. What I'm talking about here is people that are burdened because they got to think that they have to do more to earn God's love. They got to do more to earn God's favor. And they feel so bad about themselves if they don't do a whole lot. These people are kind of churchaholics. They never feel like they do enough. They're on this plan that I like to call the earn or burn plan. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so they're afraid they're not going to be good enough for God. And that's a toxic variation of faith. And the second thing is kind of the opposite. It's called laziness. Laziness. And this is expecting God to do everything for us. Many times, this toxic form, we use God as an excuse. Guys, there's nothing wrong with wanting a miracle. You know, God does miracles. But when we stop living and when we stop doing our part, then that's the problem. That's the problem. You know, we can give it to God, but we must be willing to do our part. The third thing that's a form of toxic faith is a presumption upon God. You know, this is a few years ago, a lady came in the post office. She was telling me, she said, "I'm about to get some new furniture." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, I'm glad." She said, "Oh, no, you don't understand, Jim." She said, "I walked in there and I laid hands on, I named it and I claimed it. And I, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to get," she started naming all the furniture. I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, I named it and I claimed it." I said, "Did he say anything about you getting a job?" And I said it before I thawed, and she's probably still mad at me after all these years. But she said, "Oh no, I claimed it. It's mine." We name it, we claim it, we think we're going to get what we deserve. You know, we just presume upon him. And we ask him in many times to put his stamp of approval on our plan. It wasn't even his plan, just to prove our plan. I want to tell you, not everybody, you know, gets their happy ending this side of eternity. It just doesn't happen. Number four, an example of toxic faith is control. Y'all know what I'm talking about here, where people use scripture just out of context to control somebody else. Another form of toxic faith, number five, is extreme intolerance. I'm talking about these folks that hold up signs. Are they wear these sandwich signs that talk about who God hates? They hold up these signs that are judgmental and they're critical and they're legalistic. They're demeaning in every way, and they're separating people rather than bringing them together. That's extreme intolerance. And then another form of toxic faith is the addiction to a religious high. What I mean by the addiction to a religious high, where everything is praise hallelujah. You know, and you know, there's excitement, there's adrenaline pumping. You know, there's a true story. A lady walked in this ballroom out of a hotel because they were singing and stuff. She walked in, started singing, and people are raising their arms, and she said, you know what? She said, that was one of the most amazing services I've ever been to. Lady beside her said, that wasn't a service. That was a Tupperware convention. Now, I ain't got nothing against Tupperware. But it just goes to show you that you can manufacture things that aren't of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't be worked up. You just can't do it. Let me give you three toxic faith problems real quick. Number one is false teachers. False teachers. Matthew 23:4. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. False teachers don't bring people closer together. They bring people to compulsive behavior. False teachers bring people to addictions and bondage. They push, they control, they demand, they pressure you. They want you to work, and they want you to work for them. They create this character of who Jesus is, and they miss out on the whole character and nature of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus came to stop all of that. And he talks about it a lot through Scripture, that the future of false teachers ain't a good one. It ain't a good one. Jesus called them hypocrites because he said they shut down the kingdom of heaven for other people. He said their motives are usually power, control, greed, money, and you know, sometimes it's even sexual gratification. And we do the same thing on a different level when we say, I've heard us say things like around here, you know, not much, but just, oh, you're not going on that mission trip? You're not going to teach that class? You're not going to do that? Oh, your Bible ain't as big as mine. A lot of things that we do that we can put the wrong kind of pressure on people. Now, we also have another thing. Number two, another toxic faith problem is toxic churches. This is where the whole church is created and designed on a faith that just does not honor God. Jeremiah 6:14 says this, they offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. What I'm talking about here, these are folks, these are people that believe for everything. There's a quick fix and there's an instant solution. There's a verse that solves it all. They even believe if you're walking around with a problem, then you're the problem. That's a toxic. And they wind up with some kind of rules and stuff that come out of this toxic faith. And I'm going to tell you, they're not exaggerated. You know, these rules that some of these toxic churches have, You need to know them. You know how you really don't want to know how sausage is made? You really need to know how church sausage is made. Amen? You need to be in. So let's look how a toxic church sausage is made. Toxic faith. The very first one is that truly faithful don't have problems. They believe if you're truly faithful, you won't have problems. They don't need to celebrate recovery group. All you need is Jesus. All you need. And everybody that is truly faithful should be walking around healed already and healing others if you are truly faithful. Now, secondly, a toxic church, if you have a problem, it must be a result of sin or a weakness in your life. But if you believe that way, it totally discounts that we live on a broken planet and in a broken world. So it can't be fixed or healed. It must be a result of sin. It must be a result of weakness. Now, thirdly, C says, if you do have a problem, this is what a toxic church will tell you. If you do have a problem, fake it. Fake it. What they're saying is the least you could do is act like you don't have one. Amen? They don't want you to act like you got a problem. Because that way, the fake image of the fake church can continue to be fake. There's no admission that there's an ongoing struggle. And so the folks just fake it. I'm telling you, Monday night, church happens up here Monday night. There's an amazing healing happens up here Monday night. I love to come when I get the chance. I was here Monday night. I was here the past two Mondays. And people feel free to share their struggles, to share their hurts. And you know, nobody's sitting around saying, she did that. Nobody's sitting around saying, you really can't come here anymore. But what you see is people loving on one another from all walks of life, a very diverse group, from the wealthy to the poor, from every job classification there is. And they're sharing their struggles and their pains and their hurts. You got them, we got them, but they're open about it. And guess what? They're recovering. They're recovering. And the fourth thing that a toxic church might tell you to do, if you're not willing to fake it, it would really be best if you didn't show up. If you didn't show up. I'm telling you guys, folks are moved out of unhealthy churches all the time. They're just asked not to come back because they believe that their problem is a result of unconfessed sin or some ongoing difficulty. We need a place where sick people feel welcome. Whether we know it or not, we're all sick. And guess what? If we don't know it, you're really sick. We're all sick. And the fifth thing, the last thing about what's a toxic church do is that if you do show up with your problem, do so with great shame. Do so with great shame. Guys, when this rule gets in here hurting people, stop showing up. And the church becomes exactly the opposite of what God intended it to be. When hurt people stop showing up, it's not what we intended to be. Number three, the third toxic faith problem is foolish beliefs. Foolish beliefs. Look what the word says in Colossians 2:8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. A lot of us are still living from these strange philosophies and are burdened by them. Jesus Christ came over 2,000 years ago to remove them. I want to give you just four of these foolish beliefs that a lot of us live by. Number one, when tragedy strikes, true believers should have a real peace about it all. When tragedy strikes, true believers should have a real peace about it all. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Jesus Christ was a man of anguish. He experienced sorrow. You know, in his life, Jesus Christ was not fake, and you and I don't have to be either. We don't have to be fake. So many people are walking around here with this ungrieved loss as a result of their foolish belief. You don't have to be fake. Secondly, if you have big faith, you will be healed. If you have big faith, you will be healed. Either you are or somebody you're praying for. You know, I like to think I have big faith. I have big faith. But my child still died. I have big faith. But my children still hurt. I have big faith. But I still struggle with rage. By the way, next week I'm 90 days. I'm 90 days. I get my chip. 90 days without losing it on somebody. Don't mess with me today. But, you know, I have big faith, but my children still have to go through hurtful things. You know what? And probably will this side of heaven. I had two good friends tell us when my little girl died that your problem is an indication of a lack of faith. Said, you just got to believe. That's horrible. That's horrible. It's detestable. It's toxic faith. I love what Joni Erickson Tada. She's a quadriplegic. She got hurt in a diving accident, I believe it was. She was an athlete. And paralyzed from the neck down, she went on to write a bunch of very encouraging Christian books and stuff. And just a wonderful lady. And this preacher came up to her at a convention and said, you know what, Miss Tada? If you had real faith, you could get out of that wheelchair and walk. You know what she told that preacher? She said, it takes more faith for me to sit here and smile at you. Amen? Another foolish belief is this. The more money I give to God, the more money I get back. Foolish belief. The more money I give to God, the more money I get back. You know what I have found out? I have found out that the more money I give to God, the less money I have. That's what I found out. There is no promise that you and I will be rewarded financially. But there is this, and I can guarantee you this, you will be blessed beyond anything you could ever imagine. I guarantee that. Last foolish belief is this. God is going to provide me with the perfect mate. We talked about this 3 or 4 weeks ago, but it's a foolish belief that God's going to provide you with the perfect mate. All I have to do is wait, and God's going to drop this person in my lap. I call this the don't wait, I mean, don't date, just wait plan. And you can transfer this kind of thinking in a lot of areas in our life. If you do that, then you wouldn't have to choose anything. You'd get a letter in the mail. You know, dear Luke, you haven't expressed any interest in our college, but hey, you know what? We're accepting you. Guess what? Somebody knocked on the door today and I got a job. Guys, if you're sitting at home waiting on God to deliver a mate for you, you better hope that the Domino's pizza guy is available. No, we need to trust God and get busy doing our part. You hear me? We got to trust God and then get busy doing our part. I thought about if this person, if you know, we have this belief that God's got one person for me. He's got one person for me, and I'm going to wait on that one person. What if he gets hit by a truck? What's the solution? Jesus is. We need a lot more Jesus and a lot less religion. We need a lot more Jesus and a lot less religion. Jesus came to earth as God to give us an example of who God really was and to set us free. Set us free from this stuff. Look at Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery. Jesus Christ walks in this world, rules and regulations, and he sits down and he dines with sinners. He walks into this world of rules and regulations and he loves on someone with leprosy. Turn the world upside down. Are you practicing a healthy faith? Or is it much like the sick stuff we just talked about? Let me give you real quick 6 characteristics of a healthy faith. 6 characteristics of a healthy faith is, number one, is that you're focused on the true God. You're not focused on what God can do to deliver to you. You're not focused. I call that kind of consumer Christianity. On what you can get. You're focused on a relationship that you can get with God. Guys, I want to tell you, we may not get what we want, but God always gets us what we need. He never lets us down. You know, and it's focused on God. It's not focused on a person. It's focused on his word. You know, you have real faith. When you accept the truth of the Bible, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Secondly, it says, our healthy faith must be loving. Guys, if your faith is not loving, it's nothing. It is nothing, because God is love. The greatest commandment, the 2 greatest commandments in the Bible, it says, love God, love other people. Guys, Lee says all the time, if we can get those two down, everything else will fall in place. Are you truly loving? Are you truly serving in your relationships? Or are you demanding? Are you pressuring? Are you pushy? Or are you loving? The third thing is the characteristics of a healthy faith. It's personal. This is my faith. It's not about rules. It's not about roles. It's a personal relationship with God. I want to tell you something, guys. You don't have to go through anybody to get to God. That's why Jesus came. And as we experience this personal relationship with God, it'll transfer to our relationships with other people. It'll come. So we love God. We get to know Him more and more each day. Then we get to know other people and love them, whether it's a parent, a child, husband, wife, friend. Number four, it's respectful of others and relationship oriented. When we're respectful of others and relationship oriented, there's no need for us to hold up those hate signs anymore. We don't have to do that any longer because it's a result of true faith. Nor will we be doing hateful things to people in our lives. Guys, we need to build relationships. We won't have a need to control that other person when we have a healthy faith and we respect each other. So are you building relationships or are you tearing them down? Are you making this place better or worse? Five, healthy faith is in community. You know, it's one thing to go to church, but it's another one to become part of the church. And it seems like we're getting bigger every Sunday, and I want to tell you something about the bigger a church is, the more we need to find our smaller community in it. To whether it's Celebrate Recovery, whether it's Kid Stuff, or XP, Awana, small groups. I love the statement, I believe, that Susan Talbert put on Facebook. We had a, did I make an announcement about the Mud Volleyball tournament? Let me tell you something, guy. We had two Mud Volleyball teams in this tournament. We come that close, 3 points away from going to the championship round. So I'm recruiting some better volleyball players. But I love what Susan put on her Facebook status, and this is not word for word, but she said, "Oh, I got to know my folks in church. I had such a good time with the other folks, getting to know them and fellowshipping with them." And I thought, there's that small community. Who would have thought you'd have found it in a pit of mud? Isn't that something? If you can play volleyball, holler at me. So we'll try to win next week. But find you something. Whether you're a biker, whether you're a hunter, you know, a shopper, a reader, you know, you need to find that community inside that you can share your lives with other people. And you can be real and open. Last thing is that in a healthy faith, it's a growing faith. Guys, we encounter struggles. I wish you could have heard the lady's testimony Monday night. She's encountered struggle after struggle. But you know what? She endured. She persevered. And she's growing. And so can you and I. It doesn't matter how old we are. You know, we grow when we handle things as God in the center, as God is the focus of our life. And when we do that, we allow other people to grow too. We're not judgmental. We allow people who are in a different place in their faith walk, you know, than us. And we allow them to grow. And then we can grow. And we don't put this big burden of somebody else's expectations on another person. You know, and we give them room to grow. So I want to ask you, I'm closing, is your faith making someone crazy? Is your faith making someone crazy? And if it is, stop it. Stop. Come back to the focus of Jesus Christ and why he came. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, and not these foolish beliefs, not these toxic churches, not false teaching. And as we close, I want to tell you about Steve Arterburn. Is a Christian author. He said in the 1980s, they lived in, I think it was West Texas. They were members of a Southern Baptist church. His brother had left home. His brother was homosexual. And he contracted AIDS. He was dying. In the 80s, they didn't have much they could do. You know, and remember, they didn't want to touch you or nothing in the 80s. Steve's dad was a deacon at this Southern Baptist church. He was concerned about what might happen. These guys were farmers. These guys were ranchers. These guys were hunters. These guys chewed tobacco. He said, but I'm going to go tell them that my son's coming. He's homosexual. He's got AIDS. He was a deacon with him. So he told those guys, he said, my son's coming. Got AIDS, he's dying. Coming home to live. The old chairman of the deacon got up, old cattleman, softy guy. He says, you know, we loved him when he was little. We loved him when he was a teenager. We loved him when he was a grown man. We're going to love him now. Those deacons formed a plan. Every day until that day that young man died, one went to that house and served him. Cleaned him, fed him, done whatever it took. They went even one step further. They told his dad, whatever hospital bills your insurance doesn't pay, we're going to pay. We'll take care of it. 17 years ago, I didn't know North Point was even going to be formed. I stood in front of a deacon board mad. Told him I dreamed of a church that would accept people that were sick. I dreamed of a church that wouldn't put people down. I dreamed of a place that would love anybody from anywhere. I didn't know it, but God formed that place. I believe that there's not a man here that wouldn't do the same thing those deacons did, as they loved and they prayed over that young man. I believe that place has been formed. I believe it's here. I want to thank you guys for being those people that'll welcome the sick and love on the poor. Would you pray with me? My Lord and my God, thank you for a different place. A place that we just come as we are. A place that's trying to emulate the very teachings and the walkings of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll mess up sometimes. I know. But Lord, keep us focused on what you would do. And not these silly teachings sometimes of a toxic faith. Lord, when you came, you went to the poor. Jesus, when you were here in body, you ate with the sick. When you came, it didn't matter what a man or woman dressed like. When you were here, a woman who was considered unclean touched you and her life was changed. We need more of you and less religion. We love you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.